I had always wanted to be a superhero, and when teachers would ask in fifth grade, what do you want to be, fireman, lawyer, I'd always say superhero, and they'd say, oh, that doesn't exist, and I fell for it. So by eighth grade, I'd gone into Don't Live Your Dreams, that's a crazy idea.
I'm Jonathan Hirsch, and this is the very first episode of Arrivals. Stories of migration, transformation, and change. A show that explores what we do when what we've done is a thing of the past. This is the story of Ethan Hughes.
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman.
I've just given away a $100,000 inheritance and given away everything just because I wanted to try it. You know, all the mystics say, you want to be happy, like, give everything away and trust, so.
$100,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had paid off my college loans, and then the family had inherited this money, and I decided to just liquidate everything, dress up as a superhero and ride.
To a lot of people, that would sound pretty out there.
I know.
My
family flipped out. You're like, wow, you got this money. You got this to start that vision you always had. Now you can do it. Mm-hmm. If I had it, I could live my dream. So what was most disturbing is people I really respected equated your dreams with money. So a big urge for me was, I don't want to do that. I want to show you can live your dreams with nothing. It took me 9 months to give it all away because I really wanted to mindfully figure projects I wanted to support. And part of it was countering this cultural idea, and I saw how powerful money was. Even when I gave it away, one cousin cried. He thought I must be dying of a terminal illness. Another good friend who I never saw cried before cried, and I thought it was because he was so touched because he had a lot of money and I'm giving him $1,000 as a Dream Fund gift. And he's like, I'm worried about you. What are you going to do? So I realized that it really has power in our psyche. We're losing 100 to 300 species a day. One out of six Americans are in antidepressants or isolated. So here you have your hands or resources that could do something for someone else. And I think that's like the root that we've twisted about contentment. Had fire on it and had the words BE, a kind of spandex outfit, goggles. I was dressed as a superhero called the Blazing Echidna. I wrote to a bunch of friends and said, let's bike across the country dressed as superheroes and serve anyone we see. We'll have our homemade costumes with our own names, Compassion Man, Dr. Dharma. My girlfriend at the time, who was going to medical school, came on the ride as Kitty Cat Calamari.
After crisscrossing the states, traveling over 5,000 miles, the Blazing Echidna headed to Lansing, Michigan, where Kitty Cat Calamari had already begun medical school. But what awaited Ethan and his bike at the train station was not the reuniting of superheroes he had hoped for.
She shows up to the train, and I saw her face. I biked back to the apartment, and she had an affair with another pre-med guy and was with him and said, well, I just shipped all my things there, not a few boxes of things. And so that was it. So I was on the next train out, and there wasn't a train for 3 days, so I sat in her apartment, crying for 3 days. You know, when I was in she was a master's in New Orleans in public health. And I was down there for a few months, and I would bike to meet up with them. And there's places in the town where someone just got knocked off a bike with a baseball bat, and I'd go through any neighborhood. And so she would get really stressed. Saturday night in New Orleans, drunk drivers everywhere. There's no bike lanes in New Orleans like a Portland, and I'm biking around trying to be car free. And there were stresses every time if we ever went out to eat, my commitment was never to walk by someone in need. Someone would come up and ask for food, and I'd say, hey, okay, come on out to eat with us. And kind of, the world and our relationship didn't have a boundary, which I totally understand. When she left me, my mom and all my friends were like, you should just be a monk. I'm like, gosh, I want a family. Like, really, if I make these choices, I have to be alone? Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. And that's when I met Sarah. I was into solar at that time. She's like, why do you need solar panels? Electricity free. I'd never even thought about it. I'm like, whoa, candlelight. I was like, yeah, who is this woman? I told her I was car free. She's like, great, let's bike to the local play. And she was beautiful inside and out. So I'm like, my dating pool is tiny. I've given all my money away. I'm living car free. And this woman that I'm like super attracted to is like, yes. One of our early dates, I wanted to take her to the coast because I love the ocean. And we get off the Greyhound with our bikes, and we're going to bike down to this camping area. And, of course, an intoxicated man in Coos Bay walks up and is like, do you have any money? And I, as my commitment is, hey, what's your name? Yeah, I don't want to just give you money. Let's go eat and be together. But in the moment he asked me, all the past pain of lost partners because of my radicalization, I was terrified. And so I just said, screw it. My story is like, she'll leave me, but this will be our date with the drunken homeless man. And we went to a little cafe, the closest place, and we ate together, and Sarah gave him a big hug, and I gave him a big hug, and then we got on our bikes after being together for an hour with him. It's not the idea that I'm going to change his life, but just that you're a human being. I'm going to sit and eat with you and find out your story, and just that would be the beginning of a shift. And we're walking back to the bikes, and Sarah looks at me, and she said, this is the best date I've ever been on. I cry when I talk about it, because it's like, in that moment, I'm like, I found my soulmate. And we've been a catalyst for each other. So now we're like, have this small partnership where we're really supportive of how we want to live. Maybe if I'm lucky, I'll save 3 birds and one human being. You know, with full effort, it's humbling to realize there's 7 billion people. There's millions of species of just beetles. That you're just a tiny piece of this ripple.
Like, I held my wife as she sobbed. This year was the 95% decline in the monarchs. And we cannot see them moving through. We saw them 7 years ago. So you can experience it in the moment. We're bombarded with so much news, we can't feel it. And we are only changed when we feel something with each other. And so, but to feel it is not comfortable.
Ethan lives with his wife and children on a farm in La Plata, Missouri they call Stillwater Sanctuary. They live without power, electricity, cell phones, or the internet. Thanks to Ethan for sharing his story, and to Ethan's mom, AKA Desert Queen, for hosting our interview at her home in East Gloucester, Massachusetts. This show was produced in between the honking of car horns in lovely Williamsburg, Brooklyn by me, Jonathan Hirsch. More information on the program, our guests, and links to our Twitter, SoundCloud, and Instagram accounts can be found at arvls.com. Additionally, I release a weekly 90-second microcast about arrivals, life in New York, and much more, which you can find on our website as well. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. It's one of the few ways we have as podcasters to spread the word. Special thanks to Gordon Harton for his musical contributions, and to Ben Cruz for mixing, mastering, and composing music for today's program. And to the many early listeners of Arrivals who helped shape this show out of the sonic clay. Robin Janatasio Mall, Tony Duchesne, Doug Cordell, Anise Gross, Alexander Winter, Aaron Wilson, Daniel Gross, Daphne McLean, China Langford, Julie Sparenberg, Matthew James DeCoster, Clement Balser, and my wife and other half, Valerie Hirsch. And until we meet again, may you wind up where you need to be.